Fans, it's great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball today. And we're joined by my philosopher, one of our favorites. And he was with us for a number of years, every other Friday talking baseball. And that is Tony Watson, the old lefty. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing well, Marty. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be on with you and chatting some baseball again for sure.
No, we're glad to have you here. And, you know, I was thinking about it. You know, in 2021, you come back to the Giants and, 4-1, whip of 078 and blah, you know, low earned run average. How come you're retired?
Well, a few things. I had some health issues. The arm wasn't working as like it used to be and needed to be going into a spring training in a 162-game season. And I got a 7- and a 6-year-old, so we are full-fledged into activities in school and field trips and camps and, started missing out on that stuff. And really the closure was just my arm wasn't going to be ready to go. And I kind of knew that as the season ended last year and I had battled an injury and got hurt in that Arizona series in late September and tried to come back probably a little too aggressively for the NLCS World Series runs. Unfortunately, lost in the DS. But, some uphill battles. And, it was just time to go. And I didn't want to be one of those guys that was just hanging on. And, the game's like, hey, what are you doing here? Time to go. So it was time for me and family sat down and, it was a good closure and had a great career, had a great run. Missed being around the guys. Don't miss the lifestyle so much, especially with a 6- and a 7-year-old and seeing them grow up right before my eyes. But, it's been a lot of fun and, try to keep in touch as much as I can with what's going on in the game. It's hard to do it day to day like you used to when you're there and you're doing it in person and seeing what's going on the ins and outs, but try to follow the Giants as close as I can. It's I'm on the East Coast, so it's a little harder with the 10 p.m. kickoff time, but I do my best to track the box scores and follow the action the next morning and see what went on the night before. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. So fans remember, of course, Tony Watson, and look at the career. Yeah, we haven't really done a lot on the career. We always talk a lot of baseball, but 689 games, 648 innings pitched, a whip of 1.083, 32 saves, and you are the all-time leader in holds with 246. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that that's an official stat, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to be recognized for some stuff and sometimes in baseball you get caught up in the small sample sizes. So when you really step back and take a 10,000, 30,000 foot lens of a guy's career and see what they're really made of and what they've done, it's pretty cool. There's a lot of guys that have had a lot of great careers. So thank you for mentioning that.
No, I'm glad to. The other thing I was always interested in, and I remember seeing you in spring training when you first came over. And Mark Melanson was here, a good friend of yours. How come you chose the Giants? How did that happen?
Yeah, so basically when that whole free agency period unfolded, that was right after the 2017 season. And that was kind of like really the first, after that CBA 16, the first freeze out of the middle class free agents. And there was a lot of guys hanging around for a long time and on the market deep into February. Spring training had started and, I mean, really, it feels like, a decade ago with everything we've gone through the last couple of years. But, I was looking for a winning organization. There was a lot of boxes that San Francisco crossed off. And they came with an aggressive offer. And it was kind of a unique offer. But one that I was okay and one that I kind of always hung my hat on was being durable and being reliable and going out there and pitching in games and being ready every night. And, they just presented a great offer, and it felt like it was a great opportunity. Our family and I, our kids are 6 and 7 now, but at the time they were younger kids and weren't in school yet, and the opportunity to live in a city like San Francisco, which has so much culture and so many things to do within, the 3-hour radius right there of the Bay Area, and really diving ourselves into that city, and we loved it. We loved all 3 years there. Obviously, the COVID year 2020 was a little weird, with the city shut down. But the first 2 years, 18 and 19, I mean, we lived right in the city, and we had plenty of memories, plenty of experiences. We always look back. The kids still talk about some of those times and experiences. So, you know, obviously the group, too, was kind of what I was looking for as well. A lot of guys, veteran guys. Bruce Bochy was the manager, and he's an old-school manager and kind of something that I gravitated towards. And, you know, the guys, some of the guys are still there, but some of them had moved on. But at the time, it was guys that had World Series experience, playoff experience, and the number one thing that mattered the most was winning every night at 7 o'clock, and that was something that I was always looking for. So I was really happy to join the Giants organization, and, you know, no regrets at all on that. First-class organization, they do it the right way. You know, they really take care of their players and their staffs and their people. So, you know, really, really happy and fortunate to be a part of that organization for a couple of years.
Well, glad to have you back here. Just talking baseball. And 47-29 lifetime, a .290 earned run average lifetime. Tony, you did very well. You really did in your major league career. You did. But, you know, you didn't get a chance to come out on the Posey weekend. I know you were thinking about coming out, and then something came up with the family. But I wanted to talk to you about Posey, and you got to meet him. You got to play. He was the catcher. Well, what did Posey mean to you? And just give us a sort of your view of Posey and the clubhouse and everything else.
Yeah, so Buster and I, the first time I ever met Buster was Fall League of 2009, we played together. Brandon Crawford was on that team as well. We were Scottsdale Scorpions. And that was the first time I met him, first time I threw to him. But he always had that calming presence. I, you know, faced him in the Cape Cod League in college. We're going back to mid-2000s then. He was a shortstop then, pitcher as well, great talent. Always had that great swing, sweet swing. But everybody always knew he was going to be a great player. But throwing to him in 2009, I think I was talking to somebody about this earlier in the fall when he announced his retirement, but just like the calming presence behind the plate, you know, always one step ahead of the hitter, thinking about, you know, he's the student of the game, you know, probably one of the top three teammates that I ever played with that was, you know, studied the game and loved the intricacies of the game and, you know, he'd put down a sign and give you a fist pump or something and kind of give you the extra yay, you know, like heater away, we can stick this here. It probably might not be the best pitch, but you know what, right now this is the pitch that we're going to drill this guy on, and it always ended up working out. It was amazing how smart he was. And then you know, for me, just coming over there, like going through 162 game season is one thing as a catcher, but going through 162 game season, a pennant race, and then being battle tested through the playoffs, you know, all the way through game sevens of World Series. That says a lot about who that man is. And he did it three times. So he went start line to finish line three different times. And I think that says a lot about who he is and what he is as a catcher, what he means to a team, the culture of a clubhouse, just the steadiness, leadership-wise. You know, sure, everybody's going through their aches and pains and bumps and bruises of a you know, 6, 7, 8 month season, but, you know, he never showed it and always took a lot of pride in going out there and trying to produce and being the best that he could. And, we got to know each other well, our families got to know each other well. So I wanted to be out there, and Cassie, my wife, and I thought it was important to go out there and support him on his day, with Kristen and the kids. But, you know, we had some issues come up here and couldn't make it, but, you know, I've been following his golf handicap. It looks like he's doing just well in okay. retirement. So he's doing okay.
Well, I love having you on talking about Posey. He's a Hall of Famer in my book. And we see how much we miss him this year and how much he meant to this ball club. He was the rock. He was the rock in the lineup, the clubhouse, and I love the way you describe what he did with the pitchers. So, Tony Watson with us, our philosopher, talking a little bit about Buster Posey. You know, look, it's Dodgers-Giants. You've been on both sides of this thing. You've been a Dodger and you've been a Giant. Give me a little insight into what it's like on both sides. What is it like?
Well, it's different for sure. You know, when I was in L.A., I was there for half a season. When I went to L.A., we were, shoot, I think 50 games above 500 on some crazy record pace. Seemed like we couldn't do anything wrong. Won every night, and then we hit a stretch in September where I think we lost 10 or 11 in a row, but it was almost like, you know what, we built this such a large lead in the standings at the time, and it was almost like a spring training buildup where we were getting everything built up for the playoffs and trying to organize pitching and, you know, load management and all that stuff. It's kind of before guys taking a day and the platoons and all that was really a thing that everybody was doing, and in LA was doing it at the time. So it was different. It was, I was coming from Pittsburgh, which was a small market team. It was my first big market experience. You know, the travel's different, the superstars are different, everything's different. So it was definitely a transition for me. And then San Francisco was coming from LA, where we had just come off the World Series. It was, you know, every player that plays is chasing a World Series ring. I mean, that's why we're playing. And, you know, we didn't get it done in L.A., and I went to the known commodity that, you know, they had done it 3 years in the last, I guess at that time, 7 years. So figured I'd jump into that clubhouse and immerse myself and figure out what, you know, some winning ways are. And you just spoke about it, like the rock that Buster provided, the leadership, you know, throughout the clubhouse, how an organization goes through a 162 game season. You know, everybody does it a different way, but San Francisco had figured it out and figured out how to do it the correct way and win. So that kind of gravitated me and pulled me in that direction. And I love both sides. I think there's different ways that teams do it. I think with Farhan coming over now, you know, he's kind of brought some of the ways that LA had done it and, creating the depth. You know, both teams have incredible depth now. I think that's one thing that every team envies, what the Giants and what the Dodgers are doing is, you know, there's a gauntlet of a season, especially coming off the COVID year and then the short spring training this year with everything that happened with the lockout. So everybody's going to need way more than the 25, 27, 28 man roster that you're providing. And both teams have done it well and both teams have stockpiled prospects. I think Giants fans know all too well about how their prospects are performing down there and what's coming in the next couple of years. And, you know, LA's just kind of steadily progressed with their prospect, their farm system. They've obviously moved some guys to buy some superstars at the deadline, but, you know, it seems like they don't miss a beat every year in the prospect rankings. And both teams are going to be built similarly, I feel like, and it's really cool to see them battling it out and, you know, rough with a couple of big homers and got them back in front. And still early, it's June, but you know, it's fun to see Giants and Dodgers going at it.
There's 19 of these that they play during the year, and it's always a lot of fun. So let me ask you this about bullpen stuff. Do you like a role in the bullpen? Because today, you know, Duvall may come in the sixth inning. He may come in the ninth inning. McGee, who knows when. Did you like to know when you were going to be used?
Yeah, so the deal with the bullpen evolution has kind of been, you know, everybody talks about the pockets now. When I first came up in you know, the 2010, 2011, 2012, it was coming out of the 90s and the 2000s, mid-2000s, where there was a ninth inning guy, there was an eighth inning guy, there was a seventh inning guy. The starter would, you know, go six innings. If it was your ace, you know, you were looking at 115 pitches. Maybe he's getting into the seventh inning, those horses that, you know, they've proven over and over every fifth day that they can get deep into games. But now it's matchups. I mean, there's everybody kind of knows where you are, where you slot in, what your pop of the lineup is. The lineups are announced, you know, X amount of hours before the game. So there's a game plan, you know, and the game has just really evolved with the information that's available. And, you know, there might not be a quote-unquote closer. I mean, I think there's probably only a handful of those left in the game, and they're paid a certain amount of dollars for a reason because those last three outs are really hard to get. But, you know, what most teams are doing is what you just touched on is mixing and matching and going with the best matchups because, you know, it's proven. You know, it might not work tonight because, you know, there's different factors that happen, and it's baseball, and it just happens. But over the course of 162 games, that more than likely is going to have the most success versus, hey, this is our seventh inning guy, this is our eighth inning guy, this is our ninth inning guy. And I think the most important thing is you got to have guys that are willing to adapt and willing to change and willing to be, evolving and into the game and what it is and following along with the game and what's going on in certain situations and being ready for, because I think at first it was, well, I'm not ready to pitch. I usually pitch the seventh inning and it's the mm-hmm. sixth inning. It's like, well, that's not, that can't be an excuse anymore. It's, you got to follow the game and figure out where your pocket of the lineup it is mm-hmm. that you're going to best succeed, have the most success against. And just know that when you go out, it's all about conviction on the mound and conviction in the batter's box. So if you're able to do your routine and your pregame routine and get yourself ready to go mentally and physically, I think, it doesn't matter what inning you're going out there. Just knowing that the manager's putting you in the best optimal position to go out there and have success with the team.
It's great to talk the philosophy of baseball. I miss it. We got so much more to talk about. Really, I'm going to let you go and enjoy Sunday with the family. But, there's so much more to talk about. It's a pleasure getting you back on and getting the inside of baseball. So, Tone, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll do this again. We'll do it again. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Let's do it. This was great. Great talking with you. It's been a while, so I've been doing the retired thing and just trying to submerge myself in the kids. But I always love chat baseball and always trying to keep up and keep my brain fresh with what's going on in the game. So thanks for having me on.
No, absolutely. The pockets, that is the key. The pockets, that's where you know when you're going to pitch. All right, Tone, thanks so much. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
All right, more coming up. KNBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.